I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Saturday, March 8th, 2025, and as a man technically in my early 40s, I count the firsts in life still. They come in on a regular basis, and one of those firsts was a discovery I made in the last couple days, which I have to share with you now. This is bombshell information.
Hello, faggot lovers everywhere. I have a message for you from Birdseye. Birdseye faggots will appeal to your whole family. They've made them with lashings of gravy, but they've gone easy on the spice because kids don't like them too spicy, apparently. Birdseye even suggests that people who don't like faggots could enjoy these. They live in hope. You know, they could be right.
Now, I didn't know that faggots were a food in the British Isles, but this is a pretty big deal. There's actually a person known as the Faggot King.
I've got, the Faggot King here.
Every single day in this office.
Something went wrong with the editing here. I'm going to have to talk to the editor. I don't have time to fix it today. We'll have to move on. Keeping with the theme of Trudeau and his government, Roaring Pussy says, so where is Canada's emergency meeting to condemn Xi in China? Speak up, Team Canada. Why are they talking about this? It actually goes back a little bit further than that. In October of 2024, so just this last October, Canada applied 100% tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. And we applied on China a 25% tariff on their steel and aluminum. Very similar to what Donald Trump has done to us right now. China didn't threaten crimes against humanity like Doug Ford is doing. He didn't threaten acts of war like Doug Ford is doing. China just sort of took it. They launched a probe into canola exports, and then finally yesterday they applied retaliatory tariffs. China didn't lose their mind and call Canada an enemy of the free world and fascists. And now, why aren't we, in the face of China applying tariffs to us, demanding that all Chinese products are removed from our store shelves? Could it be that Canada is completely dominated already by the Communist Party of China, that most of our stores would not function if we didn't have access to imports from China? Why is it that we can sit here in this moment and have two completely different reactions, one hysterical and one muted, to the exact same circumstances? Why are we treating our neighbors like the enemies of everything, but not the communist dictators out of China? I also think it's very instructive that China, who operates Canada like a resource colony, and their triads operate with a vengeance here, and our government and our media covers up the entire thing. I've proven it over and over and over again. I think it's very instructive of how they view us that they would pile on tariffs at this moment when we are in a conflict with the United States. Who butters more Chinese bread, Canada or the United States? Know where you are in the world, Canada. You're a plaything. You're a mouse caught between two cats, and you haven't done a very good job making your position stronger. And all the virtue signaling about ketchup brands is not going to save us. Andy Brooke, a good man. Why are Canadians seemingly accepting of this? Brian Lilly, sort of a hack rather than a good, he might be a good man, but he's a hack. Never have I seen someone go through any kind of election with so little vetting. He's talking about Mark Carney. Carney doesn't do interviews. Carney doesn't explain himself. Carney gives speeches, and in those speeches, he is a prophet of doom. He's telling you that emergencies are coming. He's telling you that suffering is coming. He's talking about banning X from Canada. Who knows? Maybe Starlink is banned here next. This is Grim Reaper level stuff. They're talking openly about the lockdown of Canada in response to tariffs from the United States, while at the same time, we're dealing with the same issue with China, and we're not talking about them at all. This is not about tariffs. This is about Canada as a launching pad, as the beachhead of the global agenda that's been shaping this world for the previous decades, and about stopping and interrupting Trump in his attempt to do something about it, to resurrect nationalism in the United States, but also try to create a new continentalism, which every single Canadian should be on board with. I don't understand why Canadians choose suffering, choose criminality, choose international drug cartels and transnational criminal organizations, choose a government which has been making you suffer for 10 years? Why do you put the system which denies you your say, the system which has been so unfairly designed, a federation that has weakened the citizen this entire time, why do you put that ahead of your own personal well-being and welfare? It doesn't make any sense to me. And as predicted weeks ago, Singh is already backing off for the 13th time, I think we're up to now. He's backing off his promise to trigger an election. The emergency being cited to justify his cowardice is the Americans. He doesn't mention China, just like all the rest of them. Nobody seems to want to do the exact same response to the Chinese as we're doing to the Americans. We're not getting hysterical. Why can't Canadians have and summon enough introspection to understand how manipulated you are? A heavily propagandized people. Singh is saying that we have to unite, that we have to get together as a government, and we have to support an emergency measures package to support the Canadian workers. They're trying to blame Trump for the destruction of the Canadian worker. It's actually the government's response which is going to destroy Canada. And a lot of people are going to believe it. But this election that Pierre Poilievre has sacrificed his soul to try and pander to win might not even happen. And even if it does now, the best argument I've heard from the Conservative Party in the last couple days is that they're lying through their teeth to win the election, and then once they get elected, they'll govern properly. That's not a reason to vote for them. To support a party that is deliberately lying and counting on them to lie in order to attain power, and then you hope they'll do the honest thing, why would you reward that? That's immoral. That's everything wrong with politics. That's the leadership vacuum that we've been highlighting on this channel. And it is a gorge. I have noted in my work that in spite of my hopes and some of the signals that were coming out of the Smith government and out of the Mo government that they would do the wise thing and actually distance themselves from Ottawa and come more in alignment with the Americans who have been better friends than Eastern Canada to the West this entire time. But sadly, I have been disappointed. UCP caucus, vote out colleague for criticizing budget, criticized by entire party membership. Breaking. Days after publicly criticizing the budget, UCP MLA Scott Sinclair has been removed out of the caucus by his peer. Sinclair was the lone Indigenous UCP MLA. Now, I don't want to look at people just based on their race, but there are people in this country who do, and so you've just handed the left a huge talking point, and you've handed them that talking point on something that the entire membership that funds and supports the UCP was up in arms about. This man gave it voice, and he was turfed by party leadership, all while Danielle Smith aligns herself with Ottawa. When it comes to Ukraine, unlimited war, they all support it. When it comes to the trade war with Americans, she's doing the same kind of virtue signaling. What the hell happened? And it's not just the UCP and Daniel Smith. John Rustad's BC Conservative Party couldn't even wait to get into power before they started imploding. This is Dallas Brody, who was kicked out. I spoke the truth because it matters. I will never back down from it. It is an indisputable fact that the number of bodies discovered at Kamloops is zero. The truth is a threat to powerful vested interests in the multi-billion-dollar reconciliation industry. And it is an industry. It's an industry created by government and propped up by government. There has been all kinds of virtue signaling to keep the public busy, but they haven't extracted a single body from the ground yet. At this point, it's a narrative, and it's been a narrative for years. She spoke the truth. She's been kicked out of the Conservative Party. She says, "We will stop them. We will fight for a British Columbia that serves us all. And we will do it by speaking one true word at a time. Join me in the fight for truth and the future of all British Columbians." And as a consequence, one of my followers, Tara Armstrong, says, "I'm leaving the Conservative Party of BC. British Columbia voted for me and other BC Conservative MLAs because we promised to stand up for them and what is right, no matter the cost." Well, she's paying the cost. It seems that the BC Conservative Party doesn't like truth. What is it about Canada that every single conservative movement has to implode? It is a Canadian heritage moment meme at this point. We can't keep it together. We can't do honesty. We can't figure out that you don't win by catering to the media and by becoming the same as the liberals. Poilievre's doing it now too. When it comes to Ukraine, He is the same as them. He just wants more of what they're doing. He's saying they're not doing enough. When it comes to America, same thing. He wants more trade war. He wants harsher tariffs. He wants to be the big man in the room. There's nobody occupying the diplomatic middle. That's a huge problem. Why don't these guys fight? Why don't these guys oppose? They never seem to want to go to war with their opponents. They just want to cater to them. They never want to educate the public. They never want to lead. They just want to bow down and cater and try to beg. It's begging. It's pathetic. Nobody rewards weak leadership. That's why we never win. That's why nothing changes in this country. Weak, pathetic leadership. And for those of you expecting me to somehow switch back to the PPC or endorse the PPC, no, they're garbage too. Bernier is an absentee leader. He puts in as few billable hours as possible and extracts maximum capital from his private corporation that masquerades as a political party. It doesn't have an actual EDA set up. It doesn't have a constitution. The man is a self-described dictator. He lives in fear of his own members. He self-doubts his own leadership capacities. If he didn't, he would give the members actual say. The members have less control over the PPC than Conservative Party members do, than UCP members do, than BC Conservatives do, because there is no method for you to advance policy. You don't get to vote. All you get to do is volunteer for free and send money to Maxime Bernier Incorporated. Now, that's a colloquial name. It's actually a registered not-for-profit company known as the People's Party of Canada, as well as a political party. He's absentee. He sits in Florida cashing checks. He's got all your money controlled by a board of directors that he controls and that he appoints. He occupies a space where something real can be. Any attempt to actually build a serious political party and political movement under the PPC is torpedoed by this man and his people. They want to motivate 2 to 3% of the population to keep sending money. And it works every single time. That's why good people like Kelly Lawrence didn't stay. That's why I didn't stay. That's why all the good people who got involved in 2019 aren't there anymore. The people that are involved now are just a new crop of suckers. Now, some of them are smart, well-intentioned people, just like we were in 2019. You folks will figure it out eventually. This man is going to let you down. Probably after he spends all the money in an election, he's going to retire. He's very close to getting his pension now. He's not interested in being prime minister. He's not interested in leading Canada. He's not a motivated man. You could barely drag this guy out of his hotel room to address his own people. He's late for everything. Not because he's popular. Not because he's on the phone doing busy work. Because he doesn't like you. He doesn't believe in you. If he did, he would have given you the promised constitution. He promised one in 2018. Then, when I started criticizing him very publicly, the party promised another constitution in 2020. And then they shelved the entire idea because for them, it's just a PR campaign. The entire purpose of the registered corporation that is the PPC is public relations and advocacy. Nowhere in their corporate filings do they talk about winning elections because that's not what the PPC is about. This is not a viable alternative. This man was in Stephen Harper's government. This man was a proud advocate in his leadership campaign in 2017 for a free trade agreement with China. He kept that policy into 2019. I told him it was stupid, that we can't open the doors to Chinese capital, and it was like a deal breaker. So he backed off. He wanted to sell out our potash industry. He wanted to gut Canada as quickly as possible and criticized Justin Trudeau for not opening the door fast enough to Chinese communist capital. He's not a good guy. He helped bring home the agendas from the United Nations that everybody opposes. He doesn't really address that. Or he says, I was under the command and control of Stephen Harper. I couldn't think for myself. I had to do what I was told. Is that a leader? Is he going to take you into the promised land when he just bows down? He's not an alternative. So no, I'm not going to endorse the PPC, nor will I vote for them. It's junk until he leaves, until there's a constitution. There is no alternative political movement without a political party. The people in the People's Party deserve representation. They don't have it. Oftentimes people say to me that they had an election. They had a leadership election. There were no other candidates on the ballot. It was a postcard that came in the mail, and you could mark a yes or a no to Bernier's effective leadership on it. There was no legal mechanism, even if you had voted no, there was no legal mechanism for him to step down. He wouldn't have. It was a charade. It was a show, just like all the proposals for the Constitution. The man had one seat he could win, the Bose, and he rugged himself out of that seat. He used to get elected with 62% of the vote. He managed to turn that into a low teens performance and lost by massive margins in the last two times he tried to run there. Why? Because he parachutes himself in all over the country and only pulls 2 to 3% of the vote. The one exception was the riding of Portage-Lisker, I believe it was called, or maybe it was Portage-La Prairie. Doesn't matter. It was in Manitoba. They had a candidate running there, a local guy, and he pulled 22% of the vote. Big deal. Biggest pull of the entire country in the 2021 election. So a by-election came up when the member there retired. So there was a by-election. And instead of letting the local guy run, Bernier told him to step aside. He came in, put himself in that position, and he proceeded to lose 1 in 4 votes that the other guy got. He doesn't want to win. He opposes every single thing that could make the PPC a viable political option. He's also got me blocked. Patricia Conlon, who is one of his candidates right now, she said to me the other day, it's funny, Patricia chimes in on my content all the time, and she's always got these PPC points, and I respond to them, and eventually I put her in a corner and checkmate her, and she just disappears, and then she comes back later with more. And the last one was, why don't you get Max to do an interview with you? I'd love it. I've been asking for it for months. He's got me blocked on X. He won't return my phone calls. There was a time when he always answered the phone for me, back when we were actually trying to make a party. He won't do it now, and he won't sit down with me for an interview. Come on. I would do it in a heartbeat, but he won't do it because he's afraid to. It would damage him too much. He knows what I know. I've got the receipts. He's not a courageous man. Seven Uzi does it. Says, no, you're not, bro. Your actions for the last 10 years say otherwise, but your buddies in Westmount will appreciate the sentiment. This is just a joke. No one in Canada should ever be afraid to call themselves Zionists. I am a Zionist. Putting aside for the moment, whether you're a Zionist or you don't like Zionists or you're one of the Jew people in the comments who's always telling me that I got to figure out the whole Jew thing, put that all aside for a minute. We got Hamas organizing in Canada. We got Hezbollah organizing in Canada. They're internationally recognized. I've put the receipts on it in my videos. They launder their money here. They infiltrate into the United States. They rally in our streets. They smash our buildings. They boycott Jewish business. Thousands of them gather in Toronto. There's Hamas flags everywhere. There's not a single Canadian flag. And he loves it. And this is what you need to understand about Justin Trudeau. And you need to understand this about psychopaths and sociopathic narcissists in general. You have a weakness as a person who feels and has a conscience. And that weakness is these guys can take on the appearance of it in a very convincing way, but not feel what you feel. So your assumption that people are being honest with you, you need to recognize and understand and study Justin Trudeau. Because he is as fake as a $3 bill. And you can learn a lot from him about how to spot fakery in other people. The way he turns on the tears, it's fake. Everything about him is scripted and concocted. He doesn't have a center. He doesn't have a belief system. He's not doing anything or leading anyone anywhere. And that tone that he talks in, it is a put on. The tears, he turns them on and turns them off at will. He doesn't actually have a heart. He probably doesn't even have a soul. I would recommend you study him because you might be able to protect yourself in life because you'll meet people like this throughout your life. And you'll sit there and you'll wonder. I had a friend of mine email me today and a guy I know. So, I mean, 100% I trust what he says. And normally, I wouldn't even include something anonymous in a video. But he was talking about how, let's say, his business partner had been working with a man who owned a number of stores, and that man had trusted the management of those stores to some foreign nationals, some people that were trying to get citizenships or non-permanent residents or TFWs, whatever they were. I don't want to be too specific. And so they managed these stores, and it turns out they didn't pay the rent. They didn't pay the vendors. They took all the money. They put it in their pockets, and this guy found out about this. And by the time he found out, they were already back in India with all the money. And so he reported it to the police. He reported it to CBC. CBC won't touch the story because it's insulting to Indians. The police won't do anything because they're already in India. And so all of these people, all of these good Canadians who are just trying to struggle along to pay this man's taxes are just out their money. And while they were here, those Indians probably collected some taxes or some benefits from the Canadian government at the same time. The whole country's been turned into a scam. It's not just a resource colony. It's a welfare scam. There are whole videos and accounts on TikTok and YouTube dedicated to telling foreigners how to take advantage and rip Canada off. That's what we are. Wake up. And for those of you who didn't know, there was a mass shooting last night in Toronto. At least 11 people have been shot at a pub in Toronto with the suspect still on the loose, according to CTV News. You know what's illegal in this country? Shooting people. You know what's illegal in this country? Shooting people with handguns. Do you know what's practically illegal in this country? Handguns. Anybody that legally possesses them can't use them for anything. The second you take them out of your house, if they're not locked up and under a chest and you have a permit to literally take them somewhere, you're committing a felony that can land you in jail. But all the time in our cities, people are getting shot up with illegal firearms. The government doesn't do anything about it. Instead, they banned a whole bunch more rifles, which aren't doing the shooting, from legal gun owners, turning people into criminals at the stroke of a pen. This country's broken. It's by design. This isn't incompetence. This is deliberate. People saying it's incompetence are, they're in denial. Five people have been charged after allegedly stealing more than $235,000 worth of alcohol from 50 different LCBO stores across the GTA. Look at these fine new Canadians. This is what Trudeau is bringing into the country en masse. I've discussed the trucking industry. I've discussed how we have a huge Khalistani separatist criminal problem, how the leader of the NDP can't even travel to India because he's recognized as a terrorist sympathizer. Canada's overrun with this. And as you've seen in this video, all the different conservative movements in this country don't seem to offer an alternative vision. I mean, has Edmonton gotten any better since Daniel Smith became premier? Is anything improving? Is there anybody that isn't walking lockstep with Ottawa into perdition? Is Pierre Poilievre not realigning himself right with Team Canada? And his whole message is, I will be a stronger version of the Liberal government when it comes to Ukraine and America. Is he also not silent on the fact that we should be doing the exact same thing with the Chinese if we were actually morally, ethically, and ideologically consistent? We would be threatening the same absolutely hysterical response to the Chinese, but instead we're not. Do you know why we're not? Because we are a captured nation. I've shown you in my videos. China controls this country. Their triads control this country. The cartels in Mexico, which China controls, control this country. The foreign influence that our government covers up. Who do you think is doing it? China. Trump is right. Redneck Jim Bro says, it's abundantly clear at this point we have only one option now. First off, I just want to address Redneck Jim Bro, that name. How do you get a redneck? By working hard under the sun. Why do we bias ourselves against Jim Bros? They're actually putting in the work and getting themselves physically fit. I look up to them. Because I'm still a fat body, all the fasting and everything I do. The last 6-7 weeks of making videos have been very bad for my progress, because even though I fast a good chunk of the day, I end up overeating as I sit here and work through things and think things. I don't know what it is about needing to eat something or wanting to eat something. You know, one of the best things that ever happened to me years ago, and it sticks out in my mind, is I walked into my brother's garage in his shop with all of his buddies. And there's people of various sizes all over the place. But my brother walks up to me in front of everybody, and he smacks me in the gut, and he's like, how far along are you? Inferring that I'm pregnant. And everybody laughed. And we had a good time. And I took it in stride. But underlying that was an actual fact. He highlighted something. Now, in our modern day and age, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to call people fat. You're not supposed to call them out. But that's actually helpful. That's actually what somebody who is loving would do. At any rate, that's kind of a segue. Make Canada the 51st state. Looking around the political landscape, looking at your federation, looking at your system, a system that even if we elect Pierre Poilievre, he's not going to fix equalization. He's not going to give you an elected Senate. He's not going to give you a right of recall legislation for MPs that drift off. There's no guarantee that he will keep his promises. In fact, a lot of conservative arguments that I've been seeing in the last few days are pinning their hopes on the fact that he's lying. Isn't that pathetic? Maybe this is the only option. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.